Take your Bibles this morning, Gospel according to Mark, Mark chapter number 10. Going to look at the last six or so verses of Mark chapter number 10 this morning. Going to look at the account of the blind man, blind Bartimaeus, in Mark chapter number 10, starting in about verse number 46. And we're going to look at that together, blind Bartimaeus this morning. Did you hear the story about the two fathers that were back in the good old days? You know, a few years back in the country, these two fathers were both kind of laughing it up and having a good time one Saturday morning. And the one said to the other, he goes, "I have the dumbest son in the whole world." And the other fellow said, "Well, why do you say that?" And he says, "Well, I'll prove it to you." He says, "I'll show you I've got the dumbest son in the whole world." And they were standing on the front porch at the one fellow's house talking. And the sons were outside in the yard there. And he says, "Here, son, come here." He goes, "Here's a $10 bill. I want you to go straight to town and buy me a brand new Cadillac." The young man took the $10 bill and took off down the road. Said, "Yes, sir, right away, Dad." Took off going down the road. Well, the two fathers kind of laughed about that a little bit. The other one says, that's nothing. He goes, wait till you get a load of this with my son. He says, "Son, come here." He came running over there to his father, real obedient-like. He says, "Son, hurry home as fast as you can and see if you are there." And the young man said, "Yes, sir." And he turned around and he took off down the road. Well, it didn't take very long. The two boys caught up to each other as they're walking down the road. And the one said to the other, he says, "You know, I got the dumbest father in the world." He says, "You know, my dad told me to hurry home as fast as I could to see if I was there. He said he could have went inside and picked up the phone and called to see if I was there." The other boy said, "That's nothing." He goes, my dad's the dumbest father in the world. He goes, "He gave me a $10 bill to go buy a Cadillac, and he didn't even tell me what color to get." So. Mark chapter 10 this morning, let's look at verse number 46, and we'll read this account here of blind Bartimaeus, and Christ here getting towards where he's getting to the point where he's winding down his earthly ministry a little bit. If you get into Mark chapter 11, you'll see that that's normally a Palm Sunday passage we deal with quite often, and talks about what's often called the triumphal entry, which I guess is a Roman term they're given to that. If a general was victorious in battle, some great leader, some great warrior, he would come back in and have all the gala, all the big celebration of being honored for his victory. Let's look at verse number 46 of Mark chapter 10. These are the last six or so verses of this passage, of this chapter. The Bible says, Mark 10, 46, "And they came to Jericho, they being Christ and the disciples and all those that were following him. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" Verse 49, "And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight." And the part that's good here in the last part of this chapter says, "and followed Jesus in the way." We're going to talk for a few moments this morning about blind Bartimaeus. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be in your house today. Thankful once again for the music, the praise, Father, that's been brought before you this morning, how it thrilled our heart and stirred our hearts, Father. Now, Father, we pray that our hearts would be prepared for your word this morning, Lord. And as we look at this blind man and this healing, this supernatural spiritual healing and physical healing that took place back in early New Testament times, Father, in this book, Father, I pray that you just use it to speak to our hearts this morning, to draw us close to yourself and to see ourselves, Father, and to see the state that we live in today. Father, we're thankful that we have the healing in Christ Jesus, that he is the one that took all weaknesses and sicknesses and sin upon himself, Father, and that he paid for that and shed his precious blood, was buried and rose again, Father, on the third day. We thank you and we rejoice in that today. So, Father, help us to point everybody we can today to the resurrected Lord. Help us to do that. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's talk about blind Bartimaeus for a minute. We sing songs about him. And we think of the McBrides. They'll be here in January and are here every January since as far back almost as I can remember. And they sing a song about blind Bartimaeus, and that's a blessing. And there's other blind men that were healed in Scripture also. There's one fellow that talked about the blind man that was healed by Christ in one of the instances there in Scripture and said, all you got to do is ask the blind man, he saw it all. And if you think about that for a minute, that'll bless your heart. But Bartimaeus, you could have said that about him. You could have said, what happened today? What did Jesus do today at Jericho? You could say, go ask the blind man. He saw the whole thing. Amen. And Bartimaeus, we read about his healing, his physical healing here in the passage. Let's look at Bartimaeus for just a little bit. As I study this passage and as I read and research some of the things and here in Christ's earthly ministry and trying to find out a little bit about Bartimaeus, not a whole lot mentioned about him, of course, in Scripture. But what is interesting is, as we place this in Mark 10, right before Mark 11, dealing with that timeline and Christ going to Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry and all that, like we talked, that pictures the second advent, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the last time that Christ was passing through Jericho. He'd been through Jericho or around Jericho before on his way to Jerusalem, but this was the last time. So you could say it this way, Bartimaeus had one last chance to meet the Savior. And we see that in the passage. Christ had passed through Jericho several times on his way to Jerusalem, but this was the last chance. This was the last time that Christ would pass this way. And in fact, in just a few days, Christ would be crucified on the cross. You know, Bartimaeus probably had a chance. Bartimaeus probably had some type of opportunity or some effort he could have made in the past to cry out for healing before when Jesus was around or Jesus was near, or he could have called on those near and dear to him that would be helping him and try and get them to take him or lead him to the place where Jesus was. But Bartimaeus apparently did not cry out in the past. Apparently, Bartimaeus did not take advantage of an opportunity for healing in the past. This was Bartimaeus, his last chance to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll just say this morning. Whenever you see a blind man in Scripture, there's some pictures there that you ought to pay attention to. And blind Bartimaeus, he pictures the blind Jew. He pictures the blind Israelite, the Hebrew, the special, peculiar, chosen nation of the Lord in the Old Testament times. And I think of Romans 11:25. They were just singing a moment ago. And the first special there was, if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle. I don't know if you ever talked to somebody before in the country, they used to say, hey, preacher, we're waiting for that last Gentile to get saved. And I thought about that a little bit. Hadn't heard that. I don't know if you've heard that worded like that before. But it actually has some scriptural basis. Romans 11:25 says, blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So one day, it's probably going to happen something like this, according to Scripture. That last Gentile is going to be saved. The fullness of the Gentiles is going to be brought in. There will be no transition back from the Gentiles to the Jews. No, there'll be a shout. There'll be a sound of a trumpet. Something's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Yes, God did transition from the Jews mostly to the Gentiles, the fullness of the Gentiles during the book of Acts, but there is no transition back. It's going to happen like this. It's going to, like, God's going to restart things, and his program's going to pick back up with his chosen nation of Israel. Don't ever think, no matter what the news media or anybody else tells you, that God's finished with Israel, because he is not. There's so much to be fulfilled, and we got a book full of it right here. And don't think that God won't take up his word and fulfill every jot and tittle. Amen. We understand that. Blind Bartimaeus pictures the blind Jew. And that fullness of the Gentiles, which includes us and includes this church age, this grace age that we live in, it's mostly Gentiles getting in on it. Thank God for the Jews that do get saved, just like everybody has the opportunity to do. But it's mostly been the Gentiles that have been dealt with since basically the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But one day, that blindness is going to be taken away. That partial blindness, that blindness in part, is going to be taken away from God's chosen people. And it talks about that in Romans 11:26. It says, all Israel shall be saved. How about that? Different, but interesting. And it's going to happen one day. And that's God's plan according to the Scripture. But not only does blind Bartimaeus picture that blind Jew that had the opportunity several times to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to call out to him in faith, but didn't do it until basically right before the second coming of Christ. That's when Israel will come to their faith in Christ at the end of the tribulation period. And that scripture, and that's not necessarily my subject today, except in picture and in type, because it's here in the passage. But not only does blind Bartimaeus picture that Jew, that blind Jew, he pictures the blind sinner also. He pictures that unbeliever that is living today with blindness. And my dad preached out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 last Sunday morning, if you were here. And one of those verses, verse 3 and verse 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them which are lost, in whom the god of this world," talking about Satan, the prince of the power of the air, "in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." Those that believe not today do it because of blindness. They're acting on behalf of blindness. Although they can see, preacher, they're some of the most educated people in the world. No, they're blind. Amen. There's different levels of blindness, and they have the worst case of it, I believe. Very blind. It's a very blind world we live in today. Yeah, even United States of America is definitely included in that blindness. Amen. Hey, there's an anti-God agenda today in society, in this nation that we live in. It didn't used to be that way. I understand that. And yes, we have slid and backslid and went so far from where we started. Yet it's everywhere you look today. And it's going to get worse. It's going to wax worse and worse. And that's why we know, if we ever, ever had the idea of putting our trust in government, we know better than that now. Amen. No, it's going to get a lot worse, and it's going to be an anti-God agenda and undertones of anti-Christ spirit in the world and in government and in our public institutions. You're going to see it everywhere, and we are seeing it everywhere today. And I've in the news this week, they talked about, or I didn't see it in the news this week, we're supposed to officially be out of recession now, but the media is not going to talk a whole lot about that because they still want everybody to do everything they say. If they have the public in frenzy mode or in panic mode, then you're more apt to do what you're told to do. And that's what they do today over the media, is they tell you what to do. They tell you how to think. They tell you how to respond to things. And they're going to do that, and people are going to keep hook, line, and sinker swallowing it all the time. It's a bad situation when today, you know what it is? It's actually blindness is the problem. It's because the god of this world, Satan himself, hath blinded the minds of those that believe not. And so much unbelief, it's going to get worse. It's going to wax worse and worse and worse. According to Scripture, blind Bartimaeus pictures the blind sinner in our society today. He pictures the blind unbeliever in our age today that we see. And it's like it's there. It's right in front of them. There's proof. There's evidence. There's experience. There's everything they need, yet they just cannot see it. They just cannot believe in it. And that's how blind Bartimaeus, in this passage, he pictures the blind sinner today. So let's go look at him for a few moments, Bartimaeus, in the passage. We'll start in verse number 46, the first verse that deals with him. Look at it, Mark 10, verse 46. The Bible says, "And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples," talking about Christ, "and a great number of people," remember there's a lot of people following Christ, they'll scatter here in the next few chapters or few days or weeks, however you want to say that, but there's a great number there with Christ at this time. It says it right there. "Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." Now this is interesting to me, and you have to do a little bit of study and run some references to the Old Testament to see this. And a preacher has time to do that from time to time. Verse 46 is talking about the place where Bartimaeus lived. He lived in Jericho. We know Jericho, don't we? We know Jericho from the Old Testament. Jericho is a very well-known place for being one of the first great conquests, one of the first cities destroyed during Israel's conquest of the Promised Land, of the land of Canaan. And also we know that Jericho was the home of Rahab the harlot, right, in the Old Testament scripture. And we read about that in the first chapters of the book of Joshua, when you understand that. But here's what's interesting. This is the, according to scripture, this is the only healing recorded. I'm not saying it's the only one that ever happened, but in scripture, this is how God recorded it for us. This is the only healing ever recorded, the only miracle ever recorded in the city of Jericho. The healing of blind Bartimaeus is the only miracle associated with Jericho in Scripture. You know why? Jericho existed under a curse. Right. You got to look at a few references, and you got to study it a little bit. But Jericho existed under a curse, and in fact, when Jericho fell, remember when the walls came tumbling down, 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 down. You know how that goes, right? If you don't get your theology from the Bible, at least get it from a gospel song. Amen. In Jericho, the walls fell down flat, according to the scripture, and we know that. When that happened, Joshua pronounced a curse upon any man who would later come and rebuild the city of Jericho. Joshua chapter 6, verse 26, I'll just give you part of it, but Joshua said, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn and in his youngest son." That's interesting to me. He's saying anybody that's going to rise up and rebuild this city that God destroyed, and remember, God did it supernaturally, right? Israel, they didn't lift a hammer or a chisel to that wall. They didn't do anything except follow the instructions prescribed by God and his word to the leader Joshua. All they did was follow the instructions, and the walls fell down flat. No implosion, no explosion, no nothing. God just did it. It was supernatural. And Joshua said, whoever comes and rebuilds this city is going to be cursed by God. This is a cursed place. This city is accursed. You read about it in Joshua chapter 6. He says, whoever does it, they're going to lose their firstborn son. They're going to lose their youngest son. That's what the scripture says. Now, I know somebody might say that's spurious, or who knows if that. Well, all you got to do is flip a few pages forward in your Bible, and if you go to 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 34, you'll find out that that was fulfilled according to the scripture. 1 Kings 16 and verse 34, let me read it to you for a second. The Bible says, "In his days did Hiel the Bethlehemite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abiram his firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun." I tell you what, God doesn't say something just to say it. When God says it, you can take it to the bank and trust on it and put your weight on it and believe what God says. Because if he says it, it will come to pass. His word's not like man's word. His word's not like government's word. His word's the holy word. And when God says it, you can bank on it. You know it's going to come to pass. So during the reign of King Ahab, a man named Hiel rebuilt Jericho, but it cost him his firstborn son, and it also cost him his youngest son. And that's according to the scriptures. That reference, once again, was 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 34. So that's interesting. Bartimaeus, this blind man, pictures the unbelieving sinner. He pictures the blind Jew. He's living under a curse in a cursed place. Now think about that for a second. You know, history tells us that Jericho existed again during the days of Christ's earthly ministry. It was rebuilt by the Arcadians around 2 BC. But then it was again destroyed by the Romans in 68 AD. So there was a city there that Christ went into as he was passing to Jerusalem that last time through. And that was Jericho, where Bartimaeus was abiding. It's kind of significant to note that Bartimaeus lived in this city that was under a curse. You know, the unbeliever today lives under a curse also. It's the curse of the law. It's the condemnation that comes down on the sinner for his own actions in the body. For our own choices that we've made. For deciding and choosing something other than what God would have us to choose. For our sins, our personal mistakes, our personal failures, our personal desires, our personal temptations that we give into. The law brings down condemnation upon that. And everybody that's in their sin in this life is living in that state of condemnation. It's just like Bartimaeus living in a city, living in a place that had a curse upon it. And there he was with a curse and with blindness, a physical problem upon him, and having a miserable existence there. That's how everybody is today without the Lord Jesus Christ. No, we need Christ. We need healing. We need salvation. And it only comes from the Lord. Only comes from him. It doesn't come from self or bettering self or education or all the things that we talk about from time to time. No, it only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Bartimaeus here pictures this. He lived in a place where the curse of the law or curse of God, the condemnation was upon him, just like all men today are living under the curse of the law without the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at some of the problems that Bartimaeus lived with. Verse 46 again, going about halfway down, it says, Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. You know, the word Timaeus, some people say, is defined as meaning blindness or maybe a blind man. So Bartimaeus was the son of a blind man. All he was known for was being blind. You know that I've don't know a lot of people that are blind, but I know several, and it's a genetic thing. It's an inherited thing. I think of the preacher that comes by here once a year and sings in the Senior Patriots, and sometimes when the schedule allows, he's in our main services also. His name's Kurt LeBeau. He's not the only one blind in his family. His brother's blind also. There was blindness in his family. Sometimes it'll skip a generation, but there's blindness that is a trait. There's a degenerative disease that runs in the family. And just like Bartimaeus was blind, it seems like his father, Timaeus, was also a blind man. Bartimaeus, his whole existence was caught up in and known for being blind. You know what bar means? It means son of, right? Bartimaeus, son of a blind man. All he's known for, his inadequacy of himself, his handicap that he had. That's all he's known for. Blind Bartimaeus, by the highway side. What can he do as a blind man during those days? All he can do is beg. All he can do is use his voice. He's at other people's mercy. He's at their disposal, whether they help him or whether they mistreat him. Insufficient of himself to save himself or to help himself. He finds himself in a very helpless state, in a cursed existence. Same as the unbeliever without Christ today. Helpless state. The problem is a lot of unbelievers, they're so blind, their minds are blinded unto unbelief, they don't realize they're helpless. They're trusting in themselves. They're trusting in some idea they had or somebody else had. They're trusting in religion. They're trusting in works. They're trusting in government. They're trusting in bettering themselves, their own name. They're trusting in all these things, not realizing they're helpless, can't help themselves, no way of saving themselves, and they're actually in a cursed existence under the condemnation and curse of the law. Bartimaeus pictures all these things. The problems he lived with, according to verse 46, was blindness. No way to support himself. No way to provide for himself. Bartimaeus means son of a blind man. You know, in this sense, all men are sons of Adam. That's where we came from. We're all sons of Adam after the flesh, and we're all sinners. We're all spiritually dead. That sin that was committed by Adam, it passed a death sentence on to every one of his descendants. That sin that was committed by Adam has also been committed by us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're not without sin. I'm not answering to God because of Adam's sin. I'm answering to God because of my sin and you for your sin. Every man shall give account of himself before God. All men are sons of Adam, and we all require and need a supernatural healing, don't we? We need a spiritual healing. We need a miracle that only will come from God. We've talked about this. I like that song. It says, but the greatest of all miracles was when Jesus saved me. How it was great. Hey, parting the Red Sea, that's awesome. A wall of water on one side, a wall of water, and dry ground, supernatural food falling from the sky, angels, food, manna coming from heaven, and you could go pick it up every morning, and you could eat, you could make it into meal, you could make it into bread, you could do all these different things with it, probably make Twinkies and stuff out of it. Supernatural food, that's a miracle. No, the greatest of all miracles was when Jesus saved a lowly sinner, helpless as I was, from a cursed background like me. That's what God does, amen? Amen? That's what God did for Bartimaeus, and don't be feeling too sorry for him because you're in the same shape he is this morning without Christ. Yeah, all men find themselves in this helpless condition, this condition cursed by our own actions, cursed by our own sin, cursed because the law reveals the sin that's in our hearts and in our existence. But I like this. We don't just stop with the condition of the beggar here, do we? Verse 46 is only the first verse of this passage. God doesn't just see our condition and leave us that way. He's not uncaring. He's not unloving. He shows great compassion. He shows great care and love. Let's keep going. Not only do we see the condition of the beggar, but we see the cry of the beggar. Look at verse 47. And when he heard, talking about blind Bartimaeus, that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Something special about this man. Amen. I'm sure there's other people that passed through and he heard about, hey, such and such is coming through. What good's that going to do a blind man that all he can do is beg? And all I can hope for is a few coins or maybe some food to be given him. But uh-oh, this man Jesus of Nazareth came through. Hey, he's already had more than 3 years of ministry at this time. I'd have to say he's well known at this. I have to say some of those lepers that he healed and some of those other blind men that he healed and some of those people that he raised from the dead, the word had probably gotten around to even blind Bartimaeus by that time. So he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was coming through. Amen. Hey, that's a great day. Wasn't it a great day when you heard about the Lord Jesus Christ? Hey, wasn't it a great day when you heard that even though you were a sinner living under the condemnation and the curse of the law, that Jesus loved you anyway and he provided a way for that curse to be taken away from and atoned for and forgiven and brought to salvation and reconciled back to God? That greatest miracle is the miracle of reconciliation, and it's provided only through the Lord Jesus Christ. I see the cry of the beggar in verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That's part of the problem with some of the unbelievers in this world today, is even though they hear about Jesus Christ, and it's a great day when they're confronted with Jesus, they won't cry out for him. No, they look somewhere else once again, instead of to the one that can bring salvation and the spiritual healing that is so desperately needed. It says here, when that day came and Jesus of Nazareth came through, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The cry of the beggar here in verse 47, he cried for mercy. He cried for mercy. I'm glad the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, whosoever can mean Bartimaeus, amen. Whosoever can mean me. Whosoever can mean you. Anybody can call upon God and get results, amen. God cares for us. God loves us. His ears are open to our call and our cry. I see the cry of the beggar here in verse number 47. He cried out for mercy. He was discouraged in verse 48. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. He's coming through, going somewhere else. And even though people said, don't do it, don't keep calling for him, he called out the more. Amen. Jesus, thou son of David. And by the way, just like Bartimaeus recognized who Jesus was, he was the son of David. He was the heir to the throne. He was going to sit on the throne one day for the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of the world at that time. He understood that. One day, finally, Israel's going to realize that at the end of the tribulation period, right before his second advent, right before his second coming, right before he comes back on that white horse with all the armies of heaven. One day, Israel's going to say, oh, that's the one. We made a mistake. He's the one. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Bartimaeus recognized it, and praise God, it doesn't seem like it sometimes, but one day Israel as a nation is going to realize it. And I see the cry of the beggar here. He cried out for mercy. It reminds me of that story. I probably said it before. Sometimes it's hard to keep when you're not organized like some of us aren't. And some of us get it naturally, by the way. Some inherit blindness from their father. Some inherit other things from their father. Amen, right? Amen. I don't remember if I said this on the radio, if I've done it in a sermon, so you'll just have to be like my dad, and I want to hear it again anyway. It reminds me of that time that a soldier of Napoleon was up facing the death penalty. And the mother came, and before the great general, before the great leader, Napoleon, she says, I want you to have mercy on my son. Napoleon says, your son is guilty, ma'am. The evidence is there. The witnesses are there. There's no question about it. Your son is guilty. He deserves death. He does not deserve mercy. And the mother spoke back with a broken heart to Napoleon. She goes, it wouldn't be mercy, sir, if he deserved it. Bartimaeus deserved mercy? Did you deserve mercy? No, in ourselves, we find ourselves falling short of anything that would require God and His attention and His compassion and His salvation upon us. Yet in His great love, He grants that mercy. Amen. He gives you something you don't deserve. He gives you something that is the opposite of what you deserve. He gives you His grace, His love, His mercy. I see the cry of the beggar. He calls out for mercy. He cries out for mercy. And I like the response of Christ as we look, continue to look. Verse 49, look at it if you would, please. We saw the condition of the beggar. Wasn't a good condition. We saw the cry of the beggar. What else can you do when you find yourself in a horrible condition? You need to cry out for help. You need to cry out for mercy. And I'm so glad in verse 49 we see the cure for the beggar. Amen. Look at verse 49. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. I like this in verse 49. Jesus stood still. Here's a man helpless. Here's a man cursed. Here's a man blind. And he calls out. That's all he could do. And how does Jesus respond? He stood still. A poor beggar. A poor blind beggar. A poor cursed blind beggar can get the attention of the one that spoke creation into existence. Amen. I'm glad that's what the book says. Amen. I'm glad I can get His attention. I'm glad you can get His attention. I'm glad that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I see the cure for the beggar. Jesus stood still for the cry of a blind, poor blind beggar. In verse 49, it says, Jesus called him. Jesus called. You know, there must have been hundreds. Hundreds around. Must have been a great multitude there. A great multitude in Jericho. Maybe Jews from outlying lands were traveling to Jerusalem also. There had to be hundreds and hundreds of people there at that time. Yet there was one that called out for mercy that God responded to. It didn't necessarily matter what the crowd's doing. It doesn't necessarily matter what the polls say. It's a personal thing, and if you find yourself requiring salvation under the condemnation of the law, don't do what the majority says. Do what the Bible says. Amen? Call out for mercy. Jesus called him. He's the one that was responded to by the Lord Jesus Christ, the very God of heaven. And I like it in verse number 52, if you look at it, as we try and wind down, it says, And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. What did Jesus do? He cured him. Amen. He did what only he could do. The priests couldn't help him. The Pharisees couldn't help him. The Sadducees couldn't. The Roman government couldn't help him, mind you. Caesar himself could not help him. But Jesus Christ could. Jesus Christ cured poor blind Bartimaeus. He cured him and he says, Thy faith hath made thee whole. And I already mentioned that was good. There's an and there, isn't there? Not only did he get healed, but there's an and followed Jesus in the way. Hey, when Jesus heals you, you need to be a follower of him. Amen. It doesn't stop there. It starts there. And you need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful cure for the beggar here in the passage. So interesting to me to see what God did and the picture of the healing of the blind man, Bartimaeus, and the picture of how one day he's going to heal his peculiar chosen people, the nation of Israel, but today how he can heal an unbelieving sinner with a simple call of faith, a simple cry for mercy. God will bring the healing that only comes from him. I heard a story about a missionary. He approached a native whom he had never seen before and struggled in the native's dialect to ask him the question, Have you ever heard the gospel? No, the native replied, but I have seen it. I know a man who used to be the terror of the village. He was a bad opium smoker and as dangerous as a wild beast around here. But something happened. He became completely changed. He is now gentle and good and has left off all those wrong, sinful habits. I've never heard it before, but I've seen it with my very eyes. See, there's blindness today, but how can you pretend to ignore and refute what God has placed before you? What we're preaching today is the truth. Not the truth because I say so, but the truth because God says so. The only way to do away with blindness is to gain the spiritual sight that only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Is Jesus the light? The Bible says He's the light of the world. And light brings great vision with it. And if you want to see right, if you want to cast off the blindness, have those that maybe you've been praying for, your friends, family, whoever else, co-workers, cast off the blindness. You got to bring the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. Ask the blind man. He saw the whole thing. He saw it all. It's not a matter of not having the light. Has it shined upon our hearts today? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? See, sin will blind you. This world will blind you. Satan will blind you. But the truth about Jesus will bring the light and bring the vision that only God can give. See, we do find ourselves as sinners in a cursed state, a cursed situation. Yet, while we were yet sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. God left heaven. He did it. He revealed Himself to mankind in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God became a man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God lived the life that none of us have lived or could ever live or any man could ever live. God lived a perfect life, sinless life, a life that was above the law, not condemned by the law. He took that perfect, sinless life and laid it down as a sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Shed that blood, that sinless blood that could cover for all our sinful actions and deeds and works. He atoned for it. He was the blood sacrifice for our sin. He suffered, He bled, He died our death. He was buried, He rose again the third day. That is the work of salvation. And by the way, that is the only work of salvation. No man cometh to the Father but by Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is salvation today, and that's the only thing that's going to open your eyes. Calling upon Christ. Calling upon the one that did your work for you. Calling upon the one that forgave you and saved you. Offer salvation to the whole world. That's the only thing that'll take away the blindness and bring sight that will last forever and ever and ever. That's what you have today in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow.